Be careful what you're doing with your face. Never know what might happen. You only got one of them.
I'll just grow a new one.
That's not how that works.
Doesn't Dragon Ball?
No, no one's ever grown a new face in Dragon Ball. Arms, yes.
Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 406 of the Nintendoki podcast for Monday, March 19th, 2018. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me, as he does every week, we've got Shelby.
Tony, what would you say if I said to you, nintendo-oki.justforum.net?
That is a blast from the past.
Right? Like, I think I was listening back to an old podcast for some reason a while back during the whole episode 400 thing, probably. And I ran across that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we did have a forum there for a while. I wonder if it's still up. And it still is!
Is it really?
Yeah, it's still there.
Has anything been posted in it in a very long time?
I don't know. My favorite thing about that was that my avatar was, like, a Chibi-Robo-Robocop thing crossover, like Chibi Robo getting out of a car a la RoboCop style. That was pretty cool. I don't remember anything else from the forum.
I had totally forgotten about that. You know, since everything we do, you know, community wise is on Facebook or Twitter now, I haven't even thought about that forum in forever.
Probably a good thing, because moderating a forum is an incredible amount of work.
That it is. Moderating a Facebook group can be a lot of work too.
Yeah, looks like it's like somebody posted something in 2014. It's probably a robot.
Probably. Also joining us this week, we got Shannon.
Howdy.
Did you ever know anything about that forum?
Yeah, I actually tried to participate, but I think I was either at the end of its existence or it never existed. So.
Yeah, I could not even begin to tell you the last time I posted anything there.
Yeah, I think like 2014 might have been when I was in it.
I don't even know if it was remotely active in 2014.
I'm looking at this post. This is written by a robot. It's like four paragraphs long. It's like, oh, could Nintendo follow the same strategy with the Wii U that they're using for the 3DS? And it starts going into like all these specs and stuff like that. Like, yeah, this is totally just a robot.
Totally a robot. And then last but not least this week, we got Ethan.
I don't think this Hiwata person's real that you're talking about either, Shelby.
Well,
that's the person that made that post.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like the last time I posted anything and that was 2012, so that tells you how long ago it's been.
I don't think anyone on our...
I did a What You Been Playing in 2012.
I don't think anyone that actually would ever use our forums would make a topic. A change of perspective - full 3D camera controls for Mario 3D World. Like, it would just be like, hey, the games are cool, right?
You know what's going to be great, though, is we're going to get some mail this week from Hiawatha who's like, I am totally not a robot.
Prove it.
Be cool to know they're still out there, though.
That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. All right, we're going to have to bring the forum back. Everybody go to nintendo-oki.justforum.net, sign up for that thing, and let's do this.
No, Shelby? I don't want to moderate a forum. I regret bringing this up now.
Shelby, your forum icon is Chibi Robo stepping out of a police cruiser. This is great. How did I forget that?
Oh, also, I'm going to say don't go to that forum because I just got a very not PG banner ad for that. That is, we may need to bring this down.
Everybody, forget that. We're going to have to figure out how to turn this forum off.
Yep.
All right, so while we figure out how to do that, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some of the video games we've been playing. All right, Ethan, I know at least one game you've been playing this week, but what have you been playing?
I played Mutant Mud Super Challenge.
Did you beat Mutant Mud Super Challenge?
I'm on the last world for, or last level for world 4, I think.
Yeah.
And then it's to the last 4 worlds and final boss stuff, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time I played that, I've never finished that game because I can't figure out how to get the boss to show up in the first set of worlds. Like, I beat the 4 levels or whatever, but I guess I haven't done whatever you're supposed to do to be able to unlock the boss in the game.
4 levels, all coins or gems or whatever.
Maybe that's what it is. I haven't gotten all the coins.
Or I don't know if you need all the coins, but you definitely need to do the hidden level as well.
Okay.
And, well, they each have their own hidden level with their own coin or gems.
That means I'll probably never even see the first boss in that game.
Well, that's sad.
I agree.
Did I say last week I'd only play that if, like, Jules was watching or something?
I think you did.
Yeah, I was like, did I say that? I don't know. And then I just kept playing it. No.
That would have been awesome.
It would have. Oh, well. I had Jason there. It was fun.
There you go.
And then I was like, oh, this is like the day after time change, and it's like 11 o'clock. So, that was great. Since I had work in the morning. Monster Hunter World is still a thing.
Okay, yes.
Thank you very much for your help.
Yeah, I forgot what we did.
We got the Horizon Zero Dawn concert.
So memorable, all that Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I'm amazed that some of the upgrades for that content was tied to those certificates. So,
yeah,
I could imagine there's probably a lot of people who got just enough to make it all, and then now that quest is no longer available, they're upset that they can't upgrade the boat.
Well, if they don't have enough to build the upgrade, then yeah. But I think it takes, what, 1, 2 for the upgrade? Maybe 3?
It's 1 for each upgrade tier, and it upgrades.
There's only 1 upgrade.
Okay, I might be wrong. Anyway, yeah. That's I was a little surprised.
I really hope there's only 1 upgrade, because that's all I saw. Oh, no. I think... Was it Devil Joe is sometime this week, right?
Think so.
Coming soon.
So that's a whole new set of armor and fights to do against him.
That'll be fun.
There's some other devil content that I am very excited for, as I know you are as well.
Oh, yes, the Devil May Cry content.
Yeah.
And that trailer that they had for it, that was very Devil May Cry. That was great.
Was that a horn? What was that?
You, him or me?
Shannon's yes.
Mm-hmm. I was
I was excited.
The Devil May Cry horn. That's cool. I'm just trying to make a joke. Anyway, moving on.
So yeah, what is that? April or something when that comes out?
Yeah, it's a ways off, but man, it looks so good.
And you get armor, not there's like a female variant of Dante for this, so it's like an armor for your character, not just a full skin that you have to wear. And that'll be low level garbage or something usually. So I'm kind of excited for this.
For the Aloy upgrade, it is just 1 upgrade, but it requires 3 of those tickets.
Okay. So. That's that arrow. Or no, that's the bow we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
So yeah, looking forward to that. Played some Maniac Mansion.
Ooh. How'd you do?
You know what? We'll come back to that one. Played some Maniac Mansion 2.
Okay. You mean
Maniac Mansion 2 Day of the Tentacle Remastered.
Okay.
I did all this so I could go and play Maniac Mansion.
So you played
This is on PS4, so I could get it.
Okay.
I hadn't finished Maniac Mansion through that game through the PS4 for the trophy, which I thought there was, and there wasn't.
No, it's the trophy was
for the hamster.
I think the hamster is the only trophy that's locked in that minigame.
And I did that.
Yeah. Hey, everybody
loves hamster. I didn't even know that's what that was for. I just did it.
Everybody loves hamster soup.
What?
Nothing?
you'll have to watch my stream to
find
out.
We're not hurting Rick. Rick's great. I don't know what you're talking about. Better not be
hurting Rick. Hey, man, you don't hurt Rick. Rick hurts you. Remember that.
So, yeah, I went through the trouble making sure Maniac Mansion 2 was playable, and then I played Maniac Mansion 1 through it. So you see my stream says Maniac Mansion 2, just so I could play Maniac Mansion 1.
Nice.
Seems like a lot of work.
It kind of was, because I could have done it through the PC since I already had both. So, yeah, I kind of broke Maniac Mansion. I don't know what I did.
Whoa, what?
You know, you can call the space police on there, and they come and get the purple tentacle guy to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, he showed up, and I didn't get the code for the door yet, so I couldn't let him in. I think we reloaded this. Jason was with me on this, watching. I reloaded the save, got the code, opened the door, called him up, and then I just, you know, messed around for a while waiting for him to show up. Realized 10 minutes have passed instead of 5, and he hasn't shown up yet. he takes 5 minutes to show up.
Yeah.
So I go back up to the thing, call, and he's like, okay, I'm on my way again.
And he just never comes.
5 minutes go by, he doesn't show. Call him again, he's like, alright, this is the last time. Still doesn't show up. So I don't know what happened. I had to restart. I did this all off stream, like sometime earlier today, and it actually does work now. I don't know what happened. It's something to do with that scum engine, I guess.
Scum engine, you know.
Yeah.
Name kind of says it all.
I played The Dark Side Detective. I did, I think, 2 cases on there this week.
What is that?
That is a game developed by Spooky Doorway. It's a point-and-click puzzle sort of game. Take what, like, Maniac Mansion looks like, but you click on a door and you're instantly in the next room, and then you have to solve the puzzle to solve a case or something. You're a detective that solves the supernatural.
Okay.
Ghost detective, got it.
Yeah, kinda. It's got a certain charm to it, and the story's got some comedy to it as well. Especially the officer partner for him. I think the guy's name is Dooley. He's great, because he doesn't really believe in ghosts, and it just keeps happening. And he's just, yeah, well, maybe it was this.
There's one in every show, one in every game. Always gotta be one naysayer. Or else the plot can't go on.
It's true.
Yeah, but he's your comedy relief, so it's great to listen to.
Oh, he's a multitasker.
It's not listen, it's read what he said. The last thing I played was Warframe.
Really?
Yes, I've been thinking about playing it for a while. Talk about Warframe
before. Did you just dive into this head first?
Yes, I did.
Great. Why?
Why?
Nothing YouTube, against Warframe, but like, why?
YouTube video called 107 Facts About Warframe.
Ugh. Great. Are you watched?
Are you sure Is Warframe just like really popular on Twitch streaming right now, and you're just trying to get viewers? What's the goal?
No, I didn't play this for Twitch.
Oh, okay.
I did download it through Steam. I haven't played that. I've been playing on the PS4 because I figured that would be a quicker download or something to try out.
Yeah, I've played probably 5 or 6 hours worth of Warframe over, you know, the course of, what, 2 years that I've known about the game.
I like it.
I mean, it's not bad.
I think Jason compared it to Destiny. And he's not exactly wrong.
No, he's not. I don't know what it was, but you know, I didn't enjoy the game a ton. I mean, maybe it's just because I was playing by myself, and I think if I was playing with some other people, it would be good. Part of it could be that most of it was multiplayer competitive stuff that I just, you know, really don't like.
I haven't seen any competitive stuff on there. I got teamed up with someone forcibly for one mission for some reason that I could have easily soloed. But everything on there seems like just like go do this at this place and just do it, or you can explore around a bit and get some items.
Yeah.
Took a minute to understand there how the shops and upgrades work, which I'm still a little confused on upgrades and such. But, you know, free game, and it looks good.
Yeah.
I might consider playing the prequel to the game, Dark Sector, at some point.
I don't know what that is.
PS3, Xbox 360 game. I think it's on Steam, too, for like $10. But that, yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Killing me, Ethan.
I know.
What are you buying?
Gotta keep you on your toes. I don't think I bought anything.
All right.
Someone knows better than I do.
I mean, I don't know that you've bought anything this week.
I did, but, well, I can't talk about it.
Are all your gaming decisions at this point based upon the fact that you're streaming everything?
I didn't stream Warframe.
That's weird. You streamed everything else? I didn't
stream Darkside Detective either.
Okay. It just seems like you're playing games that you wouldn't normally play. I don't know. Weird. It seems like your habits have changed, and I'm not sure why.
I've gotten off of Destiny. Does that make you feel any better?
Maybe that's it. Maybe just with this void of Destiny, like you're trying to cram as much Monster Hunter in as you can, but I don't know. You need your Destiny fix or something.
As much as he doesn't want to admit it, even Shelby needs you to talk about Destiny.
Is that what I'm saying?
You're going to have to wait until they release that next expansion, because I don't plan to go back unless Cole begs me to play it with him for some reason.
Is that what has happened at this point? Is that why Ethan's segment is... Is that why I feel left out, because I can't make fun of him for Destiny? Is that what's happened? Is this what I've become?
It may be.
Man.
It may be.
Maybe I need Destiny more than I thought.
You need Destiny in Ethan's life.
Huh. What to think about that one?
Just be all glad. Right. I can't send you a physical copy of Warframe. Or a digital copy. It's free.
It's free. You just say, Shelby, go download
this. How is that a threat to me? It's your money. Like, I'm not going to feel
I can't make the joke like I do with Destiny. It's like, go check your mailbox.
Oh.
All right. Well, Shannon, what have you been playing?
So, I'm actually going to talk about what I've been watching first, because Lauren and I went and saw the new Tomb Raider movie today.
How was that?
Surprisingly really good. Like, this may go up as one of the best video game movies I've seen.
Really?
That's a low bar.
Well, so it is based off of the, I think it's like the 2013 Crystal Dynamics Tomb Raider.
The first game in the rebooted series.
Yeah, that one. Because, I mean, it follows that story to a T. But, man, there's, with the exception of some minor plot holes, it was very well done. And was a pretty darn good action film.
Are you overlooking the minor plot holes because it's a video game movie and your standards are lowered?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's fine. That's acceptable. I just want to make sure. Because I never hear people up there giving the Academy Award. goes to Black Swan, except for those couple minor plot holes, but we don't mind. I've never seen Black Swan. I don't know if they're plot holes.
I just, you know, they even, I don't want to talk about the movie. It's too fresh. People, if you want to go see it, it's definitely worth it if you got Movie Pass.
You've already inadvertently spoiled the whole thing. You just said it followed the plot of the game to a team.
Oh, no. Spoiler? A game I won't play.
Spoiler warning.
Spoiler alert. This video game movie is exactly like a video game.
Here's the thing. If somebody likes Tomb Raider a lot, more than likely they play that game. Anyone that's going to go see that movie probably played that game, so they're going to figure it out. Don't worry.
I will say this, from Lauren's perspective, having not played the game, and when I asked her if she hadn't even seen the first two Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider films, she said she enjoyed this one. So,
to be fair, those first two movies were like three quarters of a movie combined together. Like, they don't really add up to one. Like, the second one's barely a movie.
So, like, that video game, it's a little bit Tomb Raider, it's a little bit Resident Evil in parts. Does all of that sort of supernatural stuff make the jump over?
It does. Okay. And I will also say that I had such a big Uncharted feeling watching the movie. Like, we watched it in 3D, so like a lot of the
let's pay as much as we can for this movie that's probably going to be terrible.
when you go to a matinee showing and the 3D price is the same as the 2D price, you don't complain. You just go for the better option.
But you should probably think in the back of your mind, that probably tells me something about the quality of this film.
The matinees are just priced that way here, so you just smile and nod, and you just swipe the card. But anyway,
smile and nod and swipe the card. The Shannon Reifenberg story.
All right, let's talk about games. I believe this week.
Answer a question for me, real quick. First,
okay.
Did Angelina Jolie actually have like a cameo in the movie at all?
And if she did, it must have been like some person in the background, because I didn't notice her anywhere in the film.
Yeah, I would say absolutely not. Yeah. Not having seen the film or knowing anything about it.
Okay, just, you know, I had to ask.
Well, you know, since this wasn't like a continuation of that, they're just like that original Tomb Raider stuff that doesn't exist anymore. So
yeah, that never happened.
Probably for the better, because like the end of the first movie, they're literally running up the side of a pyramid, chasing after like a glowing piece of rock triangle.
Yep.
And then the guy doesn't get it, and he just falls off a pyramid and goes straight down. How does that work? It's a pyramid.
I don't remember the first Tomb Raider movie being terrible.
Well, maybe
it's just because I haven't seen it in a while, but
it's not great. It's by video game standards, it's average, which by normal movie standards means it's pretty garbage. I don't know. There's something to be enjoyed. I don't know. I've probably seen it multiple times. I don't know why I'm complaining. I owned every one of those movies for a while.
Well, if we're talking, you know, my video games movie standards, my favorites are the first Mortal Kombat, Prince of Persia, and Assassin's Creed. So,
I haven't seen Assassin's Creed yet. I don't know. Ever since I got rid of my DVD collection, I haven't been keeping up on watching all the video game movies. I need to like stream a bunch of these and watch them. Like, I don't want to watch the World of Warcraft movie, but I kind of feel like I have to.
There's a World of Warcraft movie.
Yes.
Came out in theaters like three years ago.
No idea.
There's an Angry Birds movie also.
There is. There's like a TV show, isn't there? Oh. Or was it just the movie?
I don't know about a TV show, but I knew about the movie. I have a 4-year-old.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It just wasn't bad.
It was a movie.
Yeah. Sorry, I was like... If I was a 4-year-old, I'd be entertained by that.
If I was a 4-year-old, I'd be offended.
All right, moving on. Games I played this week. I busted out my Vita and I started playing Gravity Rush.
Yeah. Well, okay. That comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
One, super excited that you're playing Gravity Rush, obviously. Two, why the Vita version?
I think just out of convenience and portability.
Okay.
My only experience with Gravity Rush prior to playing this now was playing it on a demo kiosk at a Target. And I remember really liking the gyroscope features and how you're able to kind of look around the comic books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That just being a really cool feature.
It is very cool. It's visually stunning when that happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the game a lot so far. I think the game has a terrible camera.
Oh yeah.
I wish I could control the camera directly, because I feel like there's a lot of points where that option is just taken away from me entirely.
You can't control the camera. You tilt the system.
Is that the only way to do it? You can't use the right... Oh, okay.
You might be able to push a button to center it behind Cat. I can't remember. But yeah, there is some sort of camera controller. Because I remember at some point I'm like fighting people and flying around them, and I'm turning my Vita away from me to try to turn the camera, but then I can't see the screen. Oh, okay. All of these problems are fixed on the PS4 version, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to get into it, and it's a game that had not been launched yet on my Vita, so I just went ahead and started
playing. 100% support you. That is still a fantastic game, even with some camera issues and stuff like that. But hey, what game doesn't have camera issues? But yeah, that game is totally fun.
I made it through maybe a good two and a half hours. I've got all the furniture in my hole in the ground. And,
cool.
Yeah. Just, man, the people in this town are just ruthless. I saved a dude's kid, and all he could care about was the fact that I didn't save his house. And they call me a monster, like I did it on purpose. Like, I dropped his house on purpose. Like, no, I was trying to save your kid. What are you, jerk?
Probably get used to those people. They're around. Like, even in the sequel, they're still there.
Oh, I just don't get that. It's just, ugh.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so Gravity Rush. I also started playing a game called Blue Reflection, which we've discussed on the show as being Sailor Moon meets Persona.
I have been playing Blue Reflection as well.
Okay, do you want to table this for your segment, Shelby?
No, let's do it now.
Okay. Blue Reflection is a game.
Okay. Check that. Okay, let's continue.
So I can't even remember the protagonist's name now.
I've only played it
for like an hour. But okay. So she was a ballet dancer and busted her knee, and now she's at a new high school with not the mobility or the prowess that she had at one point. She meets somebody from her old school who knew her, but she did not know, because she, at her old school, when she was still doing ballet, she was, what would you call that? Just, I don't know. She, in a different social level.
Oh, okay. I see what you're going for. Just different social circles. Yeah.
Yeah. Different social circle. So this person that she meets starts having like this weird happiness mental breakdown and has an aura that only your protagonist can see.
So you're talking to this chick and she just kind of flips out and starts like pink smoking. And yeah. I don't mean like she's got like bubblegum cigarettes. I mean like just smoke just starts coming off her, like she's lit on pink fire. And then all of a sudden you're in a field of flowers.
Yep. You're in a field of flowers being attacked by some, I can kind of compare it to a more colorful version of an angel from Bayonetta.
Okay.
Just big robotic, heavenly looking thing that's got it out for you.
I haven't played Bayonetta enough to be able to confirm if that's accurate or not, which means somebody's going to send me an angry text message.
It's okay. It's okay. I would say not just a few seconds in, you start hearing voices. You look down at your hand. You've got a ring on your finger. Oh, magical girl transformation. Now your knee doesn't hurt anymore. You can jump like hundreds of feet with no effort. Oh, and you got a sword.
Yep. Very important detail. Feathered hair, memory loss, sword.
Yep.
JRPG. Okay.
Sounds like a JRPG.
There's no memory loss. I'm just joking with that one. But yeah, totally. So yeah, definitely much a Japanese RPG. And as Shannon kind of, I've picked up on this and didn't say anything to it. And Shannon said the same thing back to me to kind of confirm it, that this whole intro and setup very much feels like the first episode of an anime.
Yep.
Yeah.
It felt like the prologue was the beginning sequence before the first roll of the titles, and you've got your theme song, and then it rolls into you in school with your new friends. I mean, it feels like anime episode progression.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah, it was cool. So definitely kind of the whole setup is like an anime. High school girls, like you meet these other two magical girls, blah, blah, blah. You make all these friends. Definitely kind of has some social linking stuff a la Persona, hence the crossover thing. But I kind of want to talk about the battle system, Shannon, if that's where you're going.
Yep, that's where I was going to go next. It's turn-based, but it's turn-based on a timer, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to take over from here.
So there's a timeline at the top of the screen, and your characters are on the left, the enemies are on the right, and all these characters are traveling toward the middle. When a character reaches the middle of that in that timeline, and these are just icons on the timeline, not the actual characters, I should say, it is that character's turn to go. Some of the attacks you have, it seems like some of the magic attacks you have that burn your mana bar will have a knockback effect that pushes enemies back further on the timeline away from the center. So you can, if you do it right, you can keep an enemy from ever having a chance to go.
Yep. It's got some risk reward, kind of like Bravely Default.
Yeah, totally. Because there's some times where you can spend overdrive or go into overdrive, which spends a resource that you're building up as time goes on, to brave or go a turn sooner than you would, or have multiple turns, I guess, rather, I should say. So that's pretty cool. So the whole thing, this battle system is pretty cool because I'm only a few hours into it, but it definitely seems like let's see what you can do in a JRPG fight with limited resources. I don't know if you kind of picked up on that either, if you picked up that, kind of interpreted that the same way, Shannon.
Not necessarily, but I can see where you're coming from, because it does not give you as much freedom as you may have had in Persona.
Yeah. So
you don't have a plethora of menus and options to go to. It's just you kind of have your attacks, and that's about it.
And things are kind of starting to open up for me. I mean, I just, after a few hours, finally got my first healing spell, and that was like after I fought a big, huge boss. That I didn't even have a healing spell, which that kind of felt weird. So maybe just the things open up at a different pace than everything else. But the battle system is pretty cool. I like it. And the music all is pretty neat as well so far. So
it's very melodic. It's got some nice, a very good pianist took over.
So this soft piano stuff kind of plays as you're walking around in the school and stuff like that. And Tony, this will definitely harken back to old Nintendo Oki days. It puts me to sleep a la something like Lost Woods.
Really?
Yeah, it just knocks me out. And that's nothing against the game to say that it's boring, because it's not. But the music is just so serene and peaceful, it definitely just starts to lull me to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I played a game, I Am Setsuna has a soundtrack that's a lot like that too, that JRPG from Square Enix. That is, it's all done on a piano, and the environment of the game, everything is all snowy, and so the overworld music is really soft and slow and sort of serene. And if you're in that overworld too long, that music starts to do that, lull you to sleep. Until you get into, you know, combat with somebody, and then the music picks up really quickly.
Yeah. Not all the music is that serene in this, just that one theme particularly, because like the battle music, I've gotten a couple different songs at this point. Those are pretty good. The game is definitely, how do I say this politely? The game is definitely made on a budget.
Like you can kind of you can see, and it's not necessarily bad because of these things, but you can just definitely tell like it doesn't have the budget of something like a Persona or a Final Fantasy. Like there's limited animations to the characters. Sometimes the frame rate doesn't keep up when they're like panning across a classroom or something like that for just an establishing shot.
A lot of the environment and animation choices remind me a lot of Omega Quintet, which is very similar.
Yeah, I don't know good comparison. That, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, they definitely like, oh, we didn't animate somebody going through this door, but you'll hear the door open off screen and the character will walk in from the side of the screen kind of thing. That just those kind of shortcuts would definitely save them time because, you know, they didn't have as much resources as some people do for making stuff. But the game's cool. I'm definitely going to keep playing it. I'm liking the battle system more than anything. That definitely, it's different enough to kind of keep me interested. And I don't know how far you've gotten, Shannon, but let me ask this. Have you fought the dude yet?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, like, things get real pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. I did a little bit of research online prior to, because I wanted to try and figure out what's going to be the best way to streamline this experience and still enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of, talking about the social linking type stuff, there's a lot of side quests and particular character arcs that you can go through with your classmates.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it.
Yeah, so one of the things I also saw was you can change your difficulty on the fly. A lot of forums that I was reading say that you should always focus on hardest difficulty up to a boss fight. And then at the boss fight, turn it down to the lowest level you possibly can. Because the drop rates get a lot higher at the harder difficulty. So a lot of there's a lot of like item combination and stuff that you can do with the drops that you get. So just a tip.
Yeah, keep me in the loop on anything you discover like that, because this game doesn't seem that terribly long for a JRPG. It's like 30 hours seems like kind of the going rate for it. But still, 30 hours is a lot of time to bite off when I have maybe 5 or 6 to play every week for a video game. So,
yeah. Yep. Let's see. I can't talk about anything else without speaking to a merchant.
All right. Well, I'm going to cut you off there because I want to bring this up now while we're talking about it. So, if you don't mind me interrupting your segment again,
go for it.
So Micah first told me about Blue Reflection, and he pitched it to me, as we said before, as Persona cross Sailor Moon, and which instantly sold me.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of in celebration of that, I've come up with a bit of a contest here.
Okay.
So here's the contest. I have taken the names of several of my favorite anime properties and the names of several of my favorite video game properties, and I've put them in these Tupperware bowls. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to draw an anime, I'm going to draw a video game, and then I want the listeners to come up with a name for a video game that crosses over these two properties, a la Blue Reflection. Like, if you kind of think about it, like, you could think of Sailor Moon and Persona making a name Blue Reflection, like Sailor Moon wears blue reflection, like you go into the TV screen for Persona. You can kind of make that connection. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense? Okay, I want to make sure that wasn't just me. So here's what we're going to do. We got some prizes. I've got some toys to give away. I think some others here have some stuff as well. I'll let them speak to it in a minute. So we're going to give some stuff away here. So I'm going to draw several things here. I'll do this throughout the show. And we're going to end up with maybe 10 or so. What I want people to do is to write in podcast@nintendo-yoki.com and give us their made-up names for these made-up games.
What was that email again?
podcast@nintendo-yoki.com.
Awesome.
And I want people to write in and tell me what kind of a game, the name for a game, a la a game like Super Mario, crossed over with an anime such as Fooly Cooly. Okay. So that's the first one. What would you call a video game that is Super Mario meets Fooly Cooly? You tell me, listeners. Maybe you'll win something. As for prizes, I've got a Link Figma and a Gwendolyn Figma. So if you don't know what a Figmas are, and you haven't been listening to me talk very much on this podcast, but these are some video game toys. Go to Amazon and type, or go to Google and type in Link Figma or Gwendolyn Figma from Odin Sphere. and kind of look at these toys over. They're pretty cool. I've got a couple extras. So, yeah, we'll see what we can do to give some of those away to people.
I have some codes. I've got a code for 3 months of Xbox Live Gold. I have a code for an Animal Crossing theme for your 3DS.
The Pop-Tart theme, cool.
Yeah, the Pop-Tart theme. And I think Tony's got some stuff too.
Yeah, I have a couple of game codes for one for Flint Hook and one for what was the other game? Cluster Truck, both on the Switch.
Cool. So I guess I should also explain the rules here. The idea is that people are going to write in and we're going to pick our favorites. So I'm going to pick my favorite ones to give my prizes to. Shannon will pick his favorites. Tony will pick his, you know, well, that's the way this is going to go. So, you know, maybe kind of pander to your audience here a little bit. Like if you make me laugh, that's probably going to be pretty good. You know, maybe if you got something going for Tony, you kind of know his taste a little bit if you want that prize. So that's kind of where we're going with that. I think we'll probably try to make sure that maybe the same person doesn't win all the prizes. That would probably be bad.
Yeah, that would be bad.
And this is going to be going for a while. We'll probably, I think we're going to announce the winners of this on the podcast for April 9th. So they give people about a month to get in. And we'll kind of get the word out there. We'll do several, like I said, I'm going to do several of these throughout the show. So it'll be maybe about 10. And we'll probably put this on Twitter and stuff like that too in the Facebook group to make sure everyone kind of hears about it and give people a chance. With that being said, Shannon, I will return the relinquish command back to you by asking the age-old question.
What are you buying?
Okay, so you guys remember us talking about Toys R Us potentially disappearing last week?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When, on Wednesday, when I saw that... some European settlement, the result was going to be that all of the Toys R Us stores in the United Kingdom were closing. I decided it was high time I cashed out all my Rewards R Us points, and I went to my local Toys R Us, and I picked up Dragon Ball Z Fighters, or Dragon Ball Fighters Z.
Dragon Ball Fighters Z, I believe, is the official way to say it.
Gotcha. I picked up that game, and I picked up Gravity Rush 2.
Yes!
So...
I want somebody else to be in the Gravity Rush, dang it.
those were both games that were that have been on my list. I just keep a list of stuff that when I see a good deal, but I had a sizable amount of Rewards R Us stuff that I needed to cash out and I wanted to get rid of before, unfortunately, Toys R Us disappears. So
yeah, that's happening.
Grabbed both of those.
Like rapidly, apparently.
Yeah. I did start Dragon Ball Fighter Z. And that game is amazing. I cannot speak to the story mode because I have not touched it yet because almost every review that I had looked at said that it's not very good. So I'm waiting until maybe they might make it better. I don't know, but I did play some online matches. I did some of the tutorial, practice mode stuff. That is the most Dragon Ball looking fighting game I have ever played. I played Budokai 1, 2, Budokai 3, where there was a Tenkaichi in there at some point, all those on PlayStation 2.
Yeah, the lineage of Dragon Ball Z video games is cloudy and murky, and most of them weren't that good.
I played like some weird 2D one on the PlayStation 1. It was like Fighter 22 something.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Fighters 22 or GT. Yeah, that one was that was the biggest one for the longest time because it was the only one.
I think my favorite out of all the ones prior to this was the Supersonic Warriors on Game Boy Advance. That was always a very fun one to play. But man, I am so glad that Arc System Works took this game and made it what it is because it is. It is Guilty Gear meets Dragon Ball, and it is awesome. And I love me some Guilty Gear, and this is just, it is beautiful.
See, this is something, like, I love Dragon Ball, and I just, kind of as this kind of got popular, I was like, okay, it's time for me to sit down and burn through all Dragon Ball Super, or at least everything that's out in English so far. And I've done that, but man, my history with Dragon Ball fighting games, or just Dragon Ball video games in general, like, I've been burned so many times before. And like people are saying this is good. That's great. But also like I've never gotten into like a Guilty Gear game before. And if there's not a good story mode, I don't know how much I'm going to get out of this game. So I'm kind of hesitating on it. I'll probably pick it up eventually. I just don't know if I want to pay full price or just maybe wait for a price drop or something.
It definitely has a lengthy story mode. From what I understand, somewhere in the neighborhood of like 20 hours worth of a story mode.
Yeah, but that, I'm with you. I have heard people say that it's not that great. And like, well, I don't want to play another bad Dragon Ball story mode in a fighting game.
Yeah. What I will say about the fighting is it is a lot more accessible than a Guilty Gear game. If you can do a Shoryuken in Street Fighter, you can do pretty much anything. Cause I have yet to come across a move that is more complex than a counter circle. Like you've got your one button combos that come out of a medium or a light punch, and they all end in something quite amazing. It's also a three fighter tag team, so it's very similar to the Marvel versus Capcom stuff. So
that's a hard pass. Like I'm not good at Marvel versus Capcom stuff. I'm so torn on this game. Like, yeah, I'll try it eventually, definitely. I just don't know when I'm going to jump in.
I had one cinematic style finish happen against me when playing online, and to see how, so take, I think these are all based off of anime finishes. So like if character X beats character Y on this particular stage, it will end in this big, ridiculous, dramatic finish. If that means anything to you guys.
I mean, I'm familiar with the show. That seems pretty cool. Like, I don't know. I don't think Frieza's in the game, but if Goku beats Frieza, hey, maybe Namek explodes at the same time.
Frieza is in the game.
Oh, well, never mind. That probably happens.
Yeah, but it kind of makes me want to go through the anime again and just kind of test some of these things out. And my one reason for wanting to play the story mode has a lot to do with what I've seen about the Ginyu Force. Because they've got the flares of smoke and all of the explosions and the very, very prancy, manly dudes just going off doing their thing. I kind of want to see it, so I'll probably go through that at some point. Let's see, still talking to Immersion. You guys remember me talking about Burnout Paradise being delisted?
Yes.
Okay, that was delisted the day that they announced Burnout Paradise Remastered, which was released this week. Burnout Paradise for the Xbox 360 was backwards compatible. They delisted it. It got pulled from everywhere. Got pulled from GameStop, got pulled from Amazon, Best Buy. You couldn't even just go onto one of these stores and buy a code because EA pulled it from everywhere. Yet again, a third-party European-based code reseller sold me a code for a UK version of this digital Xbox 360 game, and it totally worked in the US and gave me the US version of Burnout Paradise for the Xbox 360. So thank you, PressStart.com. I very much appreciate it. Continue doing your thing.
Did you just sneak a plug-in for some other website?
Look, I cannot believe how well the digital storefront and how well Microsoft handles their digital content. They're just willing to honor anything, regardless of what region it comes from. It's amazing. And I'm being somebody who wants to find these games, or I have yet, you know, with the exception of a Japanese copy of Bayonetta 1 for the Xbox 360, I have yet to put a single disc. I don't have any other disc for my Xbox One. So it's nice to have all of these things digital and available and just always there. So I also picked up Cube. You guys know what this is? Cube.
Yes.
Yeah.
The sequel just came out for that recently.
Cube is like $2 on Xbox Live. So if anybody's interested in that, I think it should still be an active sale by the time this goes live. That, to me, watching some videos, it looks very reminiscent of first-person Portal. You're moving blocks and stuff around to solve puzzles in a 3D environment. Looks very cool.
Sequel came out earlier, or on the 13th.
Okay. So I'll play this at some point, and if I like it, maybe I'll jump into that sequel.
I liked it. It was a little difficult in the later stuff on there, but yeah.
Okay. Man, it looks good. It looks really good, and there's director commentary and stuff in this Xbox One version, so I enjoy that, listening to the developers talk about their creation while you're trying to solve it. Like, you can play those director commentary tracks while you're going through the game, so I'll definitely check that one out. But that is it for me.
Okay. What about you, Shelby?
Man, we got to move. All right, I'm going to draw some names out of the hat here. So let's see. How about a Phantasy Star Online type game with a theme a la Ruby? What would that video game be called?
I got an idea.
Oh, do you?
Ruby Online.
Well, there you go. That one's already taken.
You're not supposed to answer it.
Yeah, void were prohibited.
Is your game going to come out in the U.S. or not?
No. It's strictly limited to every country except the United States.
All right. Well, what about a video game, a Danganronpa style video game with a theme similar to Love Live! School Idol Project? That game actually exists because there's some sort of weird visual novel where you, it's like an escape room with idols. So don't call it Death Idol TV or whatever that terrible game's called. But as for me, I have played Blue Reflection like we talked about, but I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I do, however, want to take a moment to tell you about something that I bought.
What are you buying?
Kirby Star Allies for the Nintendo Switch.
Yay.
So I kind of went back and forth between this and Blue Reflection today, and Kirby Star Allies is pretty cool. Nice. So this is a more traditional 2D side-scrolling style Kirby platformer. And the gimmick, if for lack of a better term, this time is similar to way back when in Superstar, where you can have enemies become your friends, where that started.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
So, for a roundabout thing, hey, Kirby's sleeping and a thing falls from the sky, lands on him, and now he can throw hearts at enemies and make them his friends. Yeah, that's all the same.
Yay.
But the terrifying thing is, like, when I made my first friend, I threw a heart at him. He's following me around. And then I go through a door, and he's standing behind me. I thought, I wonder. And then I ate him!
Oh.
It was horrifying. I screamed out loud, oh no. So it definitely brings, you know, like makes you kind of question what's going on, especially when I got the cook ability and Kirby rings his pot and all the enemies jump in the pot. And so do all your friends. You just cook everybody. But it's okay on that one because all your friends jump out and they like refill their health. But it's definitely weird. Like you walk up to a Waddle Dude. Do I want to eat you or do I want you to be my friend? And if you're my friend, I still might eat you. I don't know. They've added in some stuff to where you stand on certain platforms, and it's just like this part of the level. Like, all the people, all four of your members of your team are going to get together, and you're going to form a boulder and roll down this hill and break through walls. There was a place where all four of us got together and made a bridge. So there's definitely some friend stuff they kind of tying in there. And this whole thing can be played to four players simultaneously. I only have computers because I don't have any friends.
Oh.
But yeah, this game is really fun. There's definitely, they've added in some new abilities. And what's super cool is enemies that have never had abilities before in Kirby games. Now all of a sudden you eat those and hey, some of these have abilities now. So that was kind of a cool surprise. Nice. They're like new, like old enemies I've seen before, like that one with the broom. Like, that's worthless. And I swallow, I got a broom power now. That wasn't even a thing. That's pretty cool. I like it a lot. The game looks fantastic. Music's all really pretty cool. The cool thing is they'll just dump in like Game Boy or NES music. I don't even care. Like, we'll just Game Boy music here for a while. Why not? Just straight rip from the gameplay.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Have you had a chance to figure out how to do the like controller music thing?
No, I haven't. So somebody shared with us in our line chat. Apparently, the game will play, supposedly, will play Green Greens with the HD Rumble if you just sit your controller down. So yeah, I don't know. Like, has that been confirmed? Is that just in something made up? Do we know?
I'm not 100% sure whether or not that's confirmed. It seems legit, but I haven't, seen it myself.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know yet either, but I'm definitely looking for it. If I find it, I will let people know, because that's super cool that the controller can do something like that. The best use of HD Rumble so far. Yeah, I like Kirby Star Allies a lot. It is awesome to have a Kirby game like in HD. I'm trying to think. We had Rainbow Curse on the Wii U, which is a super rad game and looked amazing because of the claymation stuff. But this is the first time that we've really had like an actual Kirby platformer in HD like this, and it looks amazing. The opening cutscene was fantastic looking. So yeah, I'm falling in love with this game. I hope it's not that short, I should say, because I'm on the third world. I just started it. And I don't know, like the last few Kirby games, like Robobot and Triple Deluxe, only had like 6 worlds. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But either way, it is very fun. You collect puzzle pieces and stuff like that, so it's almost like I'm Street Pass creeping because there's pink puzzle pieces and blue puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Huh? What? Huh?
Yeah.
Street Pass sort of lives through this.
Yeah. I don't know what the amiibo do. There is some sort of amiibo support. I imagine it's probably next to nothing because that's what amiibo do. But yeah, I'll be playing this a lot. I don't want to burn through it super quick, though. I want to kind of take my time and enjoy it. But I mean, it's a Kirby game. It's not overly difficult, but man, is it fun. It just makes me smile, and it all just works so well. Yeah, liking it a lot. It'll be fun to play this with other people. I may have to buy some other Joy-Cons or something like that, because they got some cool color Joy-Cons. I want them yellow ones. And I noticed there's some Splatoon ones now. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Those things are so expensive, though. I also picked up Mutant Muds Collection because I want Not Bomb Monkey.
Yeah.
So I got it.
Not Bomb Monkey.
I played around to Not Bomb Monkey. And guess what?
Not Bomb Monkey?
It's Bomb Monkey.
Oh.
The only thing that's different is like there's some blocks that have eyes in them, which I'm not sure what. I guess that's just a Mutant Muds thing?
Maybe.
Great. Thanks, Ethan. Really.
I have no idea.
But yeah, it's just Bomb Monkey with a Mutant Mud skin, which is fine. If a new way to play Bomb Monkey, I'm okay with. I kind of miss the monkey, the cheeky monkey, as Jules always describes him. But yeah, it's still the same gameplay. It's hectic and fun, and it goes from like, I got this, to, oh my gosh, this is out of control in like a split second when that game speeds up. But
sounds
yeah.
like Bomb Monkey.
Sounds like Bomb Monkey. You know what else might sound like Bomb Monkey? Bad segue. How about a video game like Dead or Alive, which is almost an anime in itself, with an anime styling of Outlaw Star? Ooh, an Outlaw Star fighting game. That'd be pretty cool. But that is all for me, Tony. Why don't you talk about some things?
What's up? So, I played a bunch of Splatoon this week.
Oh, yeah. I played the last boss fight of Splatoon 2 again, by the way.
Yeah, I finished the third section of levels in the single player of Splatoon. So I think I've got, what, 2 more to go?
There's five total.
Okay, yeah. So I'm a little over halfway through with that. I played a bunch more single player. I finally made it to level 10, so I can play ranked matches. I just haven't played any ranked matches yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I want to take that step to start, keeping track of that, but I think I do, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play some of that this week.
Would you want to take a step into a game that is maybe Mighty Switch Force meets Full Metal Alchemist?
I could maybe play that.
I'll list these all again later at the end of the show, people, so don't feel like you have to rewind 6 times to get this. Anyway, go ahead.
So, a whole bunch of Splatoon. I expect a whole bunch of Splatoon for the next, year or so. because I'm digging that game a bunch. I played some Brawlhalla this week.
You and that Brawlhalla, man, you finally got a taste of victory and you can't let it go.
I did, but there's a big, you know, a big one here. Jake wanted me to play it with him, and the only way that we can play together right now is on PC.
Okay.
So I downloaded it through Steam since it's free, and I can't get any of my controllers to work with it, so I had to use mouse and keyboard, and that didn't go so well.
Yeah, I can't imagine that working well in any capacity.
Like, that's what Jake uses, is mouse and keyboard, and really? He wiped the floor with me. So I need to figure out how to get my controller to hook up to Brawlhalla. I'm using a PS3 controller. I plugged it in, it recognized it, and it said, hey, you know, here's the PS3 controller. You can use this, but anytime I tried to do anything, it wasn't recognized. So I'm going to have to play around with that a little bit this week and figure out how to get a controller to work so that I can play some more of that with him. Because we're having a good time. I have to have a controller. I can't use mouse and keyboard. And then the last thing I've been playing a little bit this week, I'm working on this for review, so expect that soon. A JRPG sort of called Earthlock on the Switch.
Okay, I know nothing of this game.
It looks really cool. It's got, I'm trying to think of a game.
What two video game, what anime and video game property would it be a cross of? Would it perhaps be Gravity Rush meets Tenchi Muyo?
I don't know what Tenchi Muyo is, but sure.
Well, get on Wikipedia and read some Wikipedia entries.
Tenchi Muyo doesn't even know what Tenchi Muyo is.
That is very true.
So
it would be Gravity Rush the Harem.
Well, nobody can use that name now.
Yep. Ruining them one at a time.
I also love just pulling things out of the hat like this. This is super fun for me.
this is an RPG. It's a turn-based RPG. It looks a lot like some of those other Square Enix games, like Lost Sphere or I Am Setsuna. It's got a very, very bright, vibrant, colorful look to it. I'm not entirely sure what's going on with the story. There's been, you play as a human kid who's probably 16, 17 years old. My party right now consists of another human girl, a hog bunny, which is what he calls himself, which looks like a pig with rabbit ears.
That sounds adorable!
That stands on 2 feet and is dressed in the most, you know, dapper suit I think I've ever seen a pig wear.
Oh, this is my favorite character. What is his name?
I don't remember what his name is called. You can look up Earthlock Hog Bunny and you'll be able to find him.
Will do.
And then I've also got another guy who, he's a kid, but he's dressed up in, he's wearing like pajamas with a bright pink cape and a frog head on his head, like a frog head mask type thing on his head.
These characters that sound great.
The party is a little weird. The combat itself is actually really cool. It is a turn-based sort of, you know, JRPG, so you're picking things from a menu. But each character has two different stances that they can do. Like your main character has this, what he calls this thief stance, where he can use melee attacks, but then he can also do things like steal money or items from enemies while doing damage to them in combat. Or you can also switch stances, and his other stance is a ranged stance where he pulls out, it looks like a blunderbuss, and he shoots potatoes out of it.
It's great.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is really cool. And each of the different characters.
Boom, French fries.
Each of the different characters has these two different stances, and so the hog bunny, he is like he's a magician, so he can
use some magician?
Yes.
Man, this guy sounds all right.
So he can use magic attacks, but he also has the ability to heal people. So he's a you know, magician healer type.
And he's a
character.
Doctor.
Basically, yeah.
Pig's got it all, man. I'm jealous.
And so as you're playing through fights, you're also earning these sort of team ability points where when this meter fills up, any of the characters can use this special ability where it kind of combines with one of the other characters and they do either really powerful attacks, or Mr. Hog Bunny can heal all of the party members all at the same time and do things like that. So it's, aside from that, it's a pretty standard RPG. I think when I talked to the developers, they said it takes somewhere between 20 and 25 hours to finish. So it's not a super long game. But it's really well done. I mean, visually, it looks fantastic. It's got some really cool music. The only downside, I'd say, towards the presentation is none of it is voiced. There's not a single voice character in the game, so everything is done through text, which is not a huge deal, but I was expecting a little bit of voice acting going into the game, and there's just none of that.
I think this Hog Bunny is called Nart Tiger Moth.
That sounds right, yes.
G-N-A-R-T, I'm guessing that's like Nat, so Nart?
I think so.
Cool name.
Yeah. So I've been playing that. I should have that finished up sometime this week. So review coming soon. But that is all that I've really been playing.
Well then,
what are you buying?
I didn't buy anything.
Okay.
So, let's take a quick break. We will come back here and we will talk about the news. We have to get this announcement here out of the way because Micah would be very upset with us if we didn't.
He'll be upset with us anyway for some reason, but whatever. I said that I had never played Street Fighter. Maybe I just thought that. I don't know. I said something that made him mad. Oh, it was the Bayonetta thing. That's what it was.
Yeah. So, Sega this week announced that Yakuza Kiwami 2 will be out in the States in August. August 28th. Yay. For $50.
Man, they're coming fast, these Yakuza games. We've come a long way from the days of desperately wanting 5 to come out here.
Let's see. In
the last two years,
we've had, what, Zero?
Zero, Kiwami. 6 is on the precipice of coming out. And then Kiwami 2. So, yeah, 4 games in 2 years. Wow.
that's a pretty good clip.
Micah's living in Hog Bunny heaven over here.
Man, no kidding. So yeah, August 28th, $50. Pre-orders and the first run copies of the game will come in a steelbook.
I gotta get that.
I am going to give everybody a heads up. If you want that steelbook, grab that steelbook, because after the mistake they made overproducing Kiwami 1 steelbook,
yeah,
I doubt they're going to let that happen again. Those steelbooks for Kiwami 1 dropped to like $15 everywhere.
Yeah, they couldn't get rid of those things.
Yeah.
So there you go. August 28th. I think when Micah found out about this announcement, he said, I'll just have finished 6 by the time this thing is coming out. So I would definitely have to pick that up after playing 0 and 1. I've got to continue that and play this remake of Yakuza 2 on the PS4.
Speaking of which, I would play a Yakuza game with an anime style of K-On! I would totally play that game. I just don't know what it would be called. You tell me. I totally just drew Yakuza out of the bucket. That just worked out perfectly.
So, well, there you go. Sega wasn't done, though.
Hold on. Yakuza K-On would be really cool, wouldn't it?
Right? But would there be bicycles involved?
I don't know. Maybe just hit people with a guitar. Oh, that's fully cooly. I don't know. People write in. People want to write in like a pitch for these games too. That'd be great. That wouldn't necessarily, I don't know, maybe that'd give you more points. I don't know. I picked my favorite, so whatever. Sorry.
Yuikaza?
Quit taking the names.
Yeah, the listeners are supposed to give us the names, not you. So at South by Southwest this week, Sega had a presentation and they announced a bunch of Sonic related news.
Okay.
Yeah, they did.
Sonic Boom 3 is coming. No, no.
What?
No, they didn't announce that.
That will get you hurt.
That would be very weird. Like if it's a third season of the Sonic Boom show, yeah, let's do it. I need to watch the second season.
So no, they announced that Sonic Mania will be coming out again. This one we called Sonic Mania Plus.
Ooh.
Will include a new encore mode, and Sega says this offers new ways to explore each of the different levels in the game and come with some unspecified visual changes. The Plus version of the game will also include two new playable characters. Mighty the Armadillo and Ray the Flying Squirrel.
Yes, I love Mighty. He's awesome.
When Ethan told me about these characters, I have no idea who these characters are.
Oh, Tony.
I'm sorry. I never played Sega Sonic the Hedgehog, a 1993 arcade game.
There was some education going on whenever he told
me. Yeah, I can imagine Ethan probably just started doing a Sonic data dump on you, so I apologize for Ethan's benefit. But still, Mighty's pretty cool. He's one of the Chaotix's.
Yeah.
Or Sonic's prototype in other places.
Well, let's not start doing the Sonic data dump.
Oh.
We can talk about that later, Ethan.
Okay.
Ethan and I were speculating about how these characters might play and what some of their abilities could be, trying to figure out just what abilities they might have.
If you see anything, you can punch it and destroy it because Mighty can just lift a tank and throw it? Mighty's cool. He's no Rick the Hamster, which totally sounds like a Sonic character name too, now that I'm thinking about it.
Rick the Hamster, playable in Sonic Mania.
I'm surprised there isn't a Rick the Hamster in the Sonic world. There actually might be. I don't know. I should probably look that up.
They also said that Sonic Mania Plus will support up to 4 players.
Ooh.
Wow.
This definitely makes it... Hearing stuff like this always makes me think, like, why would anyone ever buy a video game the second it releases at this point? Like, they only get better and cheaper as time goes on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is where we live. Yeah,
apparently they go from digital to physical now.
Yeah.
So, in this, I believe this is, like, a completely new thing. It's not just an update to Sonic Mania.
But it still has the base game in there?
Yes.
It should.
Okay, cool. Well, I haven't bought Sonic Mania yet, so maybe I'll wait for the third iteration. I don't know. When do I jump in?
So, the stories I had seen, it was not entirely clear if anybody who has Sonic Mania now would be able to get this extra content, or if they would have to buy Sonic Mania Plus. It sounded like it was a completely separate thing and not any kind of expansion to Sonic Mania, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay, yeah, details are still coming out, it sounds like.
So, and then also to go along with that, they announced that there will be an animated series.
Oh?
Sort of. It's like a mini animated series.
Well, yeah, on like an OVA. Pardon me for anyone that doesn't know what that means.
Animated shorts.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Ethan, for speaking to people that don't know about anime.
Yes. 5 animated shorts starring Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles. They will not have any dialogue, they've said. It'll just be music and visuals used to tell the story.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Hmm.
And the Hopefully. First episode is supposed to go live here within the next month.
Okay.
Yay.
So. Oh, and Sonic Mania Plus, that the physical release will include not only the game, but a holographic slipcover, a reversible cover designed to mimic the Genesis / Mega Drive box art, and then a 32-page art book.
Cool.
So, all for $30.
Hey, Tony.
What's up?
What do you think the name of a game like Crash Bandicoot with the theme of Neon Genesis Evangelion would be? Probably really weird.
I think it probably would be.
That's what I'm going to say.
I don't know how to process what you just said, Shelby.
I know. I'm really looking forward to people coming up with names for that one.
Oh, Sega also partnered with Puma for some Sonic branded shoes.
Oh, some like actual real world.
Awesome.
Sonic shoes.
Well, they look like pixelated blue with some red and stuff on there.
Oh, they don't
look like... It kind of looks like Green Hill Zone minus some...
I wanted them to make just like Sonic shoes. Like literally Sonic shoes. Here you go.
Those would be some big shoes.
Yeah.
So, and then lastly, they announced the best, or not the best kept secret, but their worst kept secret that they, up until just a couple weeks ago, were denying they were even doing, and they showed off a teaser for a new Sonic racing game.
Cool. Is this another Sonic, like, in the vein of Sonic and Sega's All-Star Racing Transform? God, what a terrible name.
Probably, but they didn't show off anything about it. They literally just showed a teaser that showed some close-ups of a couple of cars, and then it ended with... They didn't even show the title. It was completely blacked out, except that it said Sonic and then the word R in what almost is guaranteed to say racing was highlighted. So it just said like Sonic R.
Are hoverboards involved? Okay. Well, that's cool. I'm looking forward to that. I love Sega doing weird stuff, you know? Like, there's so many cool throwback characters and stuff and Racing Transformed.
So it'll be interesting to see exactly what this is going to be. I've heard a couple of different things. Like, this is not going to be like Sonic and Sega All-Stars. This is just going to be a Sonic racing game. So you won't see any of the other Sega properties showing up in the game.
So,
it's still sort of up in the air as to exactly what this is going to be.
I heard they announced a game like Animal Crossing with a Lucky Star theme.
Really?
No. Man. But wouldn't that? Yeah. Man, this is fun. This is the best. This is the best idea I've ever had, guys. This is great. I kind of want to pull every one of these things out of the bucket. I might do that. I don't know. We'll keep going.
That.
I have a feeling like this podcast is going to end. Like even after the music's done, I'm just going to pull the rest of these out, and we're just going to do this whole bucket. Anyway, I keep interrupting. Sorry.
That is okay. Shannon, you tossed a news story in here.
I'm too distracted by this Lucky Star Animal Crossing hybrid.
Girl, that'd be so good. This is the best idea I've ever had.
Gosh. All right. Have you guys ever heard about an anime called Little Witch Academia?
I have. Yes. I want to watch it.
Yeah, this is a great series. I have personally enjoyed all of it on Netflix, as well as the two OVAs. They are making a PS4 game and apparently have had it in production unannounced, and it just came out on a PlayStation blog announcement this week called Little Witch Academia Chamber of Time for the PS4. This is being published by Bandai Namco. It's supposedly an action RPG. Pre-orders are live on PSN for $49.99. There is no specific... I mean, they have not nailed out a release date, though, because the PlayStation blog post says May 15th, and the PlayStation Network pre-order page says June 29th. So I'm not sure when it's actually coming out. But it looks really good.
The trailer looked really cool. Yeah, I haven't seen the show, but like...
The anime style is in like the you could tell it's 3D characters, but they look very spot on to the anime.
Cool.
So, man, if anybody knows that Trigger style of anime, it is very unique and very, very beautiful.
Man, Trigger's been killing it lately with the shows they do. I need to. The only reason I haven't watched Little Witch Academia is because my Netflix thing is turned off. I'll turn it back on at some point and watch that. So.
There you go. And then lastly, this week, Nintendo, hot on the heels of their latest Nintendo Direct, they're not done announcing new stuff.
They can't be. I mean, they're probably getting their doors kicked in by developers because everybody wants a piece of that Switch money.
Everybody does. And because of that, they announced, they announced that on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Central Time, they are going to have yet another YouTube presentation, this time focused on Nindies.
Is this not a Nintendo Direct?
Their Nindies are not technically called Nintendo Directs. They just call them Nindie Showcases.
Sure enough. Okay. That's cool. Man, so save it for E3, Nintendo. What are you doing?
They're just bringing out all the guns right now. They don't want to wait for E3 anymore.
There's no reason for them to. I mean, they've established this Nintendo Direct thing. Like, they're speaking directly to you. Yes, I did the motion. We miss you, Iwata. But yeah, this is cool.
Yes, and they did say that this will be focused specifically on games coming to the Switch. They did not mention in their press release anything about the 3DS. So,
are we going to see any games like...
maybe something akin to... thanks for tossing that out. Chibi Robo Cross Fairy Tail? That could be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you didn't like that one.
It's okay. Animal Crossing Lucky Star was too... it's too hard to follow, so...
there you go. Chibi Robo Cross Fairy Tail.
Tony is struggling so hard to keep this show on the rails, maybe interrupting every 20 minutes with a new fictional video game.
And then some of the combinations are so awesome, you guys are just like, okay, yeah, we got to talk about that for a while now. Which is okay.
Maybe I'll All right, maybe I'll do a couple more as kind of sewn into the show, and then at the end we'll do it to keep from interrupting. Sorry. This is pretty fun, though.
So yeah, I mean, there are some games that are coming up that we don't have like release dates for and things like that they showed off at an indie showcase last year. Things like Wargroove, I really want to know when that game is coming out. But other than that, I don't know exactly what to expect. I know a lot of people are wanting Hollow Knight. They want that release date to be announced for Hollow Knight on Switch. So Tuesday morning, we will know all about these new Nindies. So, I mean, I'm glad we're seeing Nintendo do that. I mean, they're not slowing down with the Switch after that first year. I know people around the beginning of January were like, okay, Nintendo, what do you got coming? We don't know. You need to tell us. And so now they're just like, here, have all this information. And then we've still got, you know, E3 coming up, and you know they're saving stuff for E3. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of this year plays out.
Yeah.
So, but that is it for the news. So let's move on to listener feedback for this week. And our first one comes from Sam via Facebook, who wants us to know, how do you think 3DS or DS games that relied heavily on dual screen functionality would be best implemented on the Switch if they were to be ported?
Book style.
I mean, that does seem like it would be the most logical way to do that. I mean, for some things, like 3DS games or new 3DS games, if they use the second stick, would be a little hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have two screens up on the TV at the same time. You really can't do it on the Switch screen as well. I mean, if you turn it vertical, like, you could at least maybe split the screen in two, but that's not going to really, functionally-wise, it doesn't really work that well, honestly.
I did see someone this week put out, I think it was Jeremy Parrish, actually, who put out a picture of a vertical orientation type dock that he's putting out, or he's working on, so that you could have the Joy-Cons on the side of a vertically oriented screen.
Huh.
So, I mean, it is possible, and Nintendo could do something like that if they really wanted to use the two-screen thing. I mean, that would be something that would sort of be limited to handheld mode only, but I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing.
I wonder if they could make some sort of peripheral that is just like a little touchscreen that you can slide the Joy-Cons into, and then you can have the top screen on your TV, and then have a little personalized touchscreen with your controllers.
That would have to have some sort of streaming functionality, all of the Wii U, but I mean, the technology.
Nintendo would just make an app for your phone and then a peripheral to attach your controllers to the phone.
Yeah, great. Then you have three cores. You have a Splatoon adapter. The Hori is a third party makes, and then you got to go.
You turn it all on, and the battery just says no. The
battery's dead. I just turned it on.
Yeah, I think the most logical way, if they do decide to bring 3DS or DS games over and they want to keep that dual screen functionality, they would find some way to do like the vertical orientation with the screen. That seems like the easiest way to do that. And it would be limited to handheld mode only. You wouldn't be able to play those on the TV.
I mean, right now, they're still making 3DS games. So I don't know that they're really worried about putting 3DS stuff on Switch. Those consoles, like... People still have 3DSs. The reason you get like virtual console ports and stuff because people don't necessarily have their old NESs and stuff like that, not widely at least. So that there's a reason for that stuff. People don't have the old hardware, but in this case, people still have their 3DSs. Those still play DS games, so there's not a lot of reason to port that stuff to Switch. Maybe in a few years, but and by a few years, I mean several years, because there's a lot of 3DSs out there.
That is true. That is true.
It is an interesting problem, though. So I don't know that the Switch has a good solution right now.
Yeah. So we'll see should that happen. I think, personally, the vertical orientation would be the best way to do it.
I think they're struggling to figure out how to make Mario Maker work.
I wonder if they would ever try to port Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, Phantom Hourglass or Spirit Tracks, both. I'd love to have those on the Switch.
I'm talking more like functionality of the system. Like for Phantom Hourglass, there's the part where you have to like imprint the map onto some paper or something, so you have to fold it. And then there's a part where you have to blow into it to clear out the foggy area or something.
Mm-hmm. You got that IR sensor, just eat the sandwiches, eat the fog, and it's all gone.
There you go.
I didn't even know I had to blow into it. I had to ask a friend, what do I do?
So, all right. Our next one comes from Chris via Facebook, who wants to know if Radio Shack was still a thing.
Kind of is.
Kind of isn't as well.
I can still get that copy of Assassin's Creed on the PSP over there for $40.
If Radio Shack was still a thing, they'd still be going out of business.
I think I go in there like once a year and I text Tony. I'm like, hey, look what they still have.
Yep. I get the yearly update on that Assassin's Creed game. It's been sitting there forever.
I honestly miss being able to walk into Radio Shack and buy some weird technology stuff to do a little craft project or something. I remember
also miss being able to go buy toys at a toy store, too.
I remember one of my I think it was a middle school science project taking neodymium magnets and some magnet wire and hooking it up on a circuit and putting it all inside of an old Tic Tac container with an LED light and turning it into a flashlight that used creating a magnetic current to store power on a little tiny LiPo battery. And doing all of it on a tiny budget at Radio Shack. You can't do that stuff anymore. Because like the last time I walked into a Radio Shack, they didn't even have a spot with diodes and soldering wire and magnets.
Mine does.
Lucky for you. Because the last time I walked into a Radio Shack, it was all cell phones and remote controlled cars. They didn't sell stuff anymore.
The last time you walked into Radio Shack, you're like, why did I come in here? Radio Shack corporate's like, maybe we shouldn't have been asking people their phone number when they buy batteries. Whoops.
It was. Yeah, thank you.
Also, he wants to know if any of us have the new Kirby game and how is it?
I do. It's great.
It's no Rick the Hamster, though.
I mean, he's coming.
Yeah.
There's other characters kind of have cameos and stuff in there when you do different power-ups. So that's cool.
Hmm. Yeah, I've played the demo. I really want to pick up that game. I just haven't been able to yet. So, Alan via Facebook wants to know what game series deserves to be on the Switch but doesn't have a game on it right now.
You know what game deserves to be on the Switch?
It's that game that nobody really talks about that much. It's that Metroid game that has that kind of style, all of G Gundam. Oh my gosh.
That's pretty good. That was good.
Kid Icarus.
Yes, that is obviously one of the first.
Holding out hope that someday they'll port that game. Speaking of the conversation we just had, porting 3DS games to the Switch.
I'll answer for Micah and say Yakuza.
Yeah. Yeah, going back to the Kid Icarus thing, though, the only reason that that game would need a touchscreen and they'd be able to change this on Switch is for, you know, the controls for shooting, and that can be handled with the dual sticks.
Yeah, so they could very easily port that game because the touchscreen it was crucial to playing the game, but it was their control scheme, so they could change that. It could be adapted fairly easily, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, because it literally was just for moving the aiming reticle around.
Yeah, and they could throw some more HUD stuff up on the screen. Like, you could easily do that one. It's not too touchscreen intensive. Well, it is, but it's something
that would easily translate. That game would look amazing in HD.
God, I wish. Yeah. That game, man.
So,
I'm going to say Animal Crossing and Rhythm Heaven.
Oh, gosh. Rhythm Heaven in HD. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, Rhythm Heaven's in this bucket, too. It's going to come out eventually.
Obviously, my choice would be Luigi's Mansion if we're talking Nintendo properties. So.
Yeah, and they're putting that on 3DS. How weird is that?
So, are there any Microsoft or Sony properties you'd like to see on the Switch?
Well, Crash Bandicoot, but that's coming.
Yeah, that is coming.
That's not really Sony or Microsoft, but I think of Crash as a PlayStation franchise still.
Assassin's Creed would be
one. If Kojima was still working at Konami, I'd say Metal Gear.
You want Metal Gear Survive on the Switch? Okay, I'll make some calls. Ethan doesn't like me.
I am audibly shaking my head.
Well, let me tell you, you are not going to believe this. Kojima, come on in here, man.
He's in Tennessee.
Shannon, me and you are the only ones that get that. It'd take too long to explain. We just should just move on.
When was the last time you had a card game with Miyamoto?
Oh, yeah, it's been a while. Because Miyamoto's been designing a new video game. He was telling me about it on the phone the other day.
Yeah.
He says he wants to make a Mario Party style game with the theme of something like Kill Me Baby. That's a deep cut with Kill Me Baby.
That's a very deep cut.
What would that game be called?
I don't know. He hasn't come up with a name yet, but he's working on it.
Oh, I got the perfect name. But I'm not allowed to give up any more names.
You can't say it.
I like this now because people are like, Kill Me Baby? What's that anime? Maybe if it gets one other person to watch Kill Me Baby, I'll be happy. I also specifically
they're all going to go watch that intro, the opening on.
Oh yeah, the worst opening.
It ruined their lives
for the funniest anime ever. Okay,
unless they end up on the one that was like, why is this so bad? I don't understand. It doesn't.
I did my best.
Sorry, I'm not going to explain.
I did my best to pick safe anime too, so you shouldn't have to worry about reading a Fooly Cooly. It'd be the worst it gets. So.
Well, all right. Our next one comes from Cole via Facebook, who says, I was listening to the Spooky Games Data Drain podcast, plug, and it got me to thinking of two questions.
Did he write plug or did you say plug?
He did.
Nice.
The related question is, what's the spookiest game you've played? I'm not a fan of horror, but I managed to play one level of the current Resident Evil game before calling it quits.
Ah, loser.
Wow. Man, wow. I'm sorry. Dang. I apologize for my friend Ethan King.
That was harsh.
Very. The game that scared me more than anything else was what's it called? Eternal Darkness.
Man, that bathtub scene.
That's exactly the scene. That frightened me. Like, I took the game out of my system. That disturbed me. That came out of nowhere. That game's cool.
That was exact.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that was the exact poll I was going to make. Because that is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last spooky game I played and never finished, and it wasn't really, I don't know that it's really that spooky, but it was Zombie U. That's not really the spookiest game I've played.
I mean, that's pretty spooky for you. You're not a big horror game fan, so.
Yeah.
It's more like situational spooky rather than horror genre.
I mean, kind of similar to that. I got spooked pretty good when playing the first Dead Space. That game is definitely atmospheric.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But since those, are they called necromorphs? I can't remember.
Yes, okay. Yes, they are.
It's been a while. Those things just like come out of vents and stuff like that. And like a fool, I scooted my chair all the way up to the TV and like had all the lights off in the room. I was playing it at like 2 a.m. And I could have swore when one of those necromorphs busted out of a vent that it came out of my chimney right next to me. And I freaked out. I was like, oh, video game, right. But there for a split second, forgot. I'm not really that big into surround sound, but that was certainly a time when surround sound coming from the side definitely got me.
So, how long did you have the fireplace on for to make sure there was nothing in there?
I didn't want to turn the gas on. It's a whole thing. You got to take out the panel. You got to reach in there. I'm lazy.
Something might grab you if you tried.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
spooky. Game.
A lot of spooky stuff is on the PC, like Amnesia and stuff like that. I haven't played any of that kind of stuff, just because I don't play a lot of PC games, but there's definitely some stuff out there that is good about being atmospheric. PT certainly jumps to mind. That's not necessarily on PC, but...
Gosh. Yeah. Hiding behind a couch in Micah's house while Lang plays PT.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. You were cowering behind the couch. That was great.
Fatal Frames series or that Resident Evil 7 demo?
Okay.
When they added they did that third update and added a creature to it in the basement. It's fine if you don't go in the basement or you have a weapon to fight back with.
I think we're all forgetting that one really scary game. You guys might remember it when I start talking about it. It's that No More Heroes style game that has that Cowboy Bebop aesthetic.
Oh.
Dang, that's good.
Even I'm like, yeah, that would be an awesome game.
Shelby.
This is the best idea I've ever had, right?
This is pretty good. The only bad part is it's ending in a bunch of amazing ideas that'll just never happen.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe somebody listening one of these days when we're all old men will aspire to become a video game creator and we can play their games.
It could happen.
Maybe.
It could happen. Then he says he also has a completely unrelated question. That is, what's the best music/musician game you've played?
Musician game?
What is just music or rhythm
game? A game when you're making you're the musician creating music. I don't know, man. I was opening up my copy Hidebo Tap Dance Hero the other day.
Yeah, you did.
A Hidebo guy. Apparently, I've been watching tap dance videos of his and didn't even know. I didn't even know it was Hidebo. He's out there, tapping it up.
I'd say Tycho's pretty darn good.
I'm going to go with Elite Beat Agents.
There's so many good rhythm games, especially on the Vita. Rhythm Heaven's great. EBA is great. Project D.Va, obviously.
Rhythm Heaven, but you're not really a musician in any of those games.
Yeah. Frequency and Amplitude are pretty cool, too. Like, or DJ Hero, like, that's probably the closest one. I don't know. The Guitar Hero games, you're somewhat playing a guitar as well, I guess, so.
Mm-hmm. Man, there was a stint where I was just all on for DJ Hero 2. It was just so good.
I mean, that's why I started playing drums was Rock Band. They tricked me into becoming a real drummer. I own an actual drum set now, so I got that far.
There you go.
Your drum.
Arguable.
So, all right. And then our next one comes from Ethan via Twitter.
Great.
Who wants to know...
He didn't even do it through the email. Everyone knew this was coming.
He wants to know, do memory cards dream?
Only VMUs.
It seemed like a deep question to ask at the time.
How do memory cards work is the better question. Does like a PS2 memory card have a battery that's keeping it alive, or is it just flash data that's sitting there forever?
I don't know. I don't know how the magic gate works.
Because I would imagine that...
It's amazing you said gates, and I'm looking at a diagram and it's using control gate and floating gate.
I would imagine that anything that uses a battery to keep its memory alive, like some of the old Game Boy and Game Boy Color, even some Game Boy Advance games, they're not necessarily memory cards, but I would imagine that there's still something living on inside keeping it alive. So maybe there's just some tiny little Pokemon master that's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs waiting for me to come in and take control.
You know, I turned on, I was looking at old memory cards the other day, kind of going through some stuff. I found a save file for that one game. Remember that one, guys? The one that's a Mario Kart style game with a Trigun aesthetic.
Ooh.
Maybe. I don't know. Not the best.
But, yeah. I'd have to play it to see if I like it.
Yeah.
I would play it as long as Meryl and Millie are my car. Like if Meryl and Millie are my car and I'm Bash and I'm the driver, then yes, let's make it happen. Man, that was a very esoteric call to anybody.
You took that a weird direction, but I'm with it.
You know what I'm talking about. If you've seen the anime,
I don't know that I do, but anyway. All right.
Well, our last question this week comes from Lang via Facebook, who wants to know, what do you think is the most disappointing non-addition to a game with guest characters that's not Smash? His example is that he's still disappointed that Fire Emblem Warriors is so 3DS heavy and that Adeline isn't a playable friend in the new Kirby game.
Yeah, whatever happened to Adeline? She just showed Kirby 64, okay, I'm out! I feel like there's a lot of room left on the table for the Soul Calibur stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Spawn for the Xbox version of Soul Calibur 2 was kind of a weird choice, but I always thought Heihachi was such a weird fit because he didn't have a weapon. I mean, they made the whole commercial like, oh, you don't need a weapon, if anybody remembers that old commercial. Link was a cool one. They're talking about maybe Geralt from... The Witch, not Witch Hunter.
The Witcher series.
Witcher series is going to maybe be in the new Soul Calibur game. That sounds cool.
Yeah, mine comes from Hyrule Warriors, and that there's not really any of the characters from the Oracle games.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah. Trying to remember what the names are, and they would be like weird characters, like the kangaroo or the bear that you meet in those games. Is their name?
There's always been some really cool stuff. Like I love that, like Beat and Gum and Pudding and Ooh La La show up in that Sonic Tennis game and the Sonic Racing game. That stuff's always really cool. I imagine there's probably some Sonic character or some Sega characters, rather, that got left out of some of that stuff that would have been cool. They dug pretty deep on some of that. Like, Alex Kidd showed up in Sega Superstars Tennis, for crying out loud. That's a deep cut.
Yeah, Ricky the kangaroo Ricky is the hamster? Is the character's name in Oracle of Seasons.
Okay.
How many? I'm trying to think of like a lot of crossover games.
Oh, you had like the Sega All-Stars, the PlayStation Battle Royale game.
Oh, there was like, how was Crash never in that game? Like that's probably the answer. How was Crash Bandicoot never in that PlayStation Battle Royale game? Yeah. And why was Big Daddy? That's a weird one.
Yeah. Moosh is the name of the other character. He's the bear that has wings in Oracle of Seasons.
That sounds pretty cool.
I thought those would be really interesting, really bizarre choices to add to Hyrule Warriors, but I thought they'd be fun to play.
How did the Ninja Turtles end up working out in Injustice 2? Has that happened yet?
I think they did it in like DC Comics a couple of times or something before. That's probably why that worked.
Well, I'm just kind of curious. Like, I heard there was some weird stuff. Like, there was only one of them on the tree, and you had to like build a specific layout to get that Ninja Turtle or something. I don't know. It sounded like there was some.
I have no idea.
Some weird red tape you had to get through, or hoops you had to jump through. Whatever the analogy is there, whatever shell you had to have. I don't know.
All right. Well, anything else?
Old bad guy in BlazBlue cross tag battle isn't a thing, so I'm upset about that still. I don't know if that's what Ling was asking or not. I lost track earlier.
All right. Well, that is going to be the show for this week. So if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Shannon.
You know, it's not a matter of whether you believe in Bigfoot or not. It's a matter of whether Bigfoot believes in you.
And Shelby, as always, thank you for coasting this craziness.
Sounds like he just repurposed a Chuck Norris joke. All right, we're going to go out on this. I hope it's a good one. How about a Splatoon-style game with an aesthetic of Girls und Panzer? Yep, it's a good one.
Having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
Danny DeVito Literature Club.
What?
Huh?
Hold on.
Ethan, you have to give context for these things. You can't just say something like that.